Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to episode 160 of the Empowered Hormones podcast. Today I'm chatting about the impact of gut health on weight loss. So a lot of women come to me with gut health symptoms, and although this is the driving force that they want to do the functional testing and join the root cause program to actually heal, restore, and not have reoccurring gut issues, part of the symptoms they're coming to me with often involves weight loss or struggling to lose weight. Now, this can be tied into a various number of factors. Weight is quite a complicated issue in a sense. We're looking at thyroid function, we're looking at adrenal health, we're looking at hormone imbalance, but a key part of the picture is actually your gut health and those microorganisms in there. So today we're sort of going to pull that apart a little bit and give you a little bit of a breakdown as to why running functional stool testing and why obviously doing your full thyroid panel, doing your Dutch comprehensive hormone testing, looking at your cortisol and adrenal glands are really important, but your gut health may be more important than what you think. Now, the bacteria and the other microorganisms in your gut are known as your gut microbiome. So usually I keep it quite simple and just say gut bacteria, good, bad bacteria. There's obviously in-depth amount of species in there, which when you look at the YouTube videos of some of the podcasts I've done where I share screen the different types of bacteria in your gut that show up in the GI 360 or the GI map, you'll understand how complicated, not complicated in a bad way, not like a bad ex, but your gut microbiome is complex, is probably the word I should put in there. I'm not sure if you guys understand this, but when I do record a podcast, I actually don't have all my podcast notes written out specifically. Like, I've got dot points and I work from dot points and I kind of just let my brain do its own thing. I know that is not the way everyone runs podcasts. Some people have really in-depth notes. Even when I'm interviewing guests, I actually only just have a couple questions that I talk because I like to see where the conversation goes and where it flows. And it just generates a more authentic conversation. But then I do also always want these guys to walk away with specific practical things that you can obviously implement in your life and that are going to be beneficial for you. So that's just, I've totally gone off topic now. See, this is what happens. But that's just a little bit how my podcast rolls, which is why even though you walk away with answers from an episode, there I will pull things in that are relevant day to day. And also my words will sometimes be wrong. You'll be like, Sheridan, that is not the right word for that sentence. That is why, because I like to just take it as my brain goes with it, as opposed to having it structured and feeling like I'm reading out notes to you, because it just doesn't feel very authentic and it's not really the way I consult either. So anyway, as we were, so your gut microbiome impacts your physical and your mental health, right? Also your weight, also your energy levels, also your hair loss, also your fatigue. Your skin is a big one. All these things come back to your gut microbiome. But we also understand that many factors, including the food you eat, will impact the type and the balance of the bacteria found in your gut. Other things that will affect your gut microbiome: stress, not enough sleep, not enough physical exercise, processed foods, smoking, alcohol, antibiotics, birth control pills, actually any medication will alter your gut microbiome in some kind of way. So Panadol or any kind of non-inflammatory, anti-inflammatory drugs like Nurofen, or depending where you are around the world, it will vary. The gut microbiome is also affected by things we cannot control. So our environment, our age, our birth mode, so whether we were C-section or natural birth, and whether we're breastfed or bottle fed as a baby. So When we look into the research of gut bacteria and weight specifically, there is 15 good bugs that are linked with better health and lower weight. But here's the catch. Your probiotic supplements don't contain these generalized 15 good bacteria that are going to impact your weight. The only way to get these bacteria is by changing what you eat, because you need to be feeding them, right? So Bifidobacteria lactobacillus are two of the most common bacterial strains you can get in supplements. They're also quite commonly to see them low in the microbiome. They're also quite easy to grow. So yes, probiotics are expensive relative to other sort of supplements. But if you look at trying to buy, say, Acomantia, which is one that's very commonly low in a leaky gut lining pitcher, it's insanely expensive. It's like a couple hundred bucks for a small amount, because it's even more, what is the word, unshelf stable. It's even less stable. That's still not the right way of putting it. It is the hardest to grow. It is very, very hard to grow and to culture. Whereas the other bacteria are easier to grow and culture. They store well in the capsules. They store well in the fridge. Some are shelf stable. And then they also survive your digestive tract to actually get to your large intestine to alter your microbiome. But a lot of our good bacteria we can't supplement with. Like if you have a look at your GI map and the, like I said, that shared screen, I think that was episode 157, and you have a look at all those different bacterial strains in there, they are not in your probiotics, okay? They are not in your probiotics, because it would just be impossible to do it, and it would be really expensive as well. So what I want to say about that is that prebiotics are the fuel for your gut bacteria. So you find them in your plant fibers. They're often classed as your high FODMAP food. So your onions, your leeks, your garlics, bananas, asparagus, legumes, whole grains. They're all really beneficial in building out that microbiome, okay? So even your fermented foods are really good here. And then we also think of our polyphenols, so our herbs, our spices, the color that's in our fruits and vegetables, our nuts, our seeds, our green and black tea, our coffee, our cacao, our dark chocolate, all really rich sources of food for those good bacteria. When we feed out those good bacteria, then we go, okay, can we start to impact weight? Okay, so I feel like years ago, if someone had asked, oh, do the types of bacteria that live in my gut, are they impacting my weight loss? Someone would have said, well, that's ridiculous. No way. But it is actually true. So we've known for quite a long time that these bacteria live in our intestines, but I want to say only in the last 5 to 7 years has it really started becoming mainstream. Because when I first got really sick at 17, so was that like 13 years ago, this information was not around. It wasn't accessible. It was not as well known. So we've always known there's been bacteria in our gut, right? Because it's warm and there's nutrients in there. It's such a great place to live. But through the science and through people like me who love looking into this data and running the research on people, so doing the stool testing, we start to see that different bacteria are linked to mental health conditions, nutrient absorption, metabolism, weight loss, neurodivergence. So there's different things that are impacted by those microbiome, okay? So these bacterial genes make substances that then get into our human bloodstream, affecting our chemistry. So can they affect our weight? Well, when we eat food, our gut breaks it down into small pieces. Only the smallest pieces get absorbed into our bloodstream. The rest is eliminated as waste. So if we're looking at a caloric component, the gut bacteria help break down our food. Therefore, if our guts have more of these kind of bacterias, it should be harder to lose weight because of the way they're digesting and absorbing these calories. So there is a caloric component, which is probably more confusing than anything else. But what we really want to understand is if the different type of bacteria are impacting this balance, okay? So like I said, there definitely is this caloric component. How are they breaking down the food? If they are better at chopping the food into small pieces that are getting digested, that getting digested does that impact the calorie intake. This is not actually something I care about. I don't care because it's such a minute small amount. My concern with weight and bacteria doesn't come down to, is it absorbing calories? Is it breaking down a food? And is that impacting that calorie absorption or not? Because what we actually want to know in when we're looking at the ways that the gut bacteria impact weight is, do you have the specific bacteria that supports nutrient uptake, hormone balance, thyroid and metabolic function? That's my first question. Do you have that? If you have inflammatory bacteria, which means poor digestion and poor absorption of nutrients, that is going to impact this. So that's the first thing you care about, as opposed to the caloric intake from the food, because I personally don't see that impacting my clients as much as if they've got an inflamed gut from the sort of overgrowth of bacteria. Secondly, do they have IBS? If you have IBS, 99% of the time caused by SIBO, so small bacterial overgrowth, you're going to have constipation or loose stools, which is going to impact your training, your energy, and your muscle gain. So gut dysbiosis giving you symptoms is going to impact the way you feel, which is going to impact your training, the way you eat, when you eat, how you recover. Therefore, is your gut bacteria impacting your weight? Yes, it is. So the other things you want to look at is inflammatory gut symptoms, in a sense. So if you've got a lot of dysbiosis, so more what we call inflammation-causing bacteria, so bad bacteria, as opposed to our anti-inflammatory bacteria, you're generally going to have higher cortisol because that downplays inflammation, and that's going to cause you to hold on to weight. So when you run a Dutch test, so looking at that hormonal picture and that adrenal testing, often we see higher cortisol, which is telling me that either there's poor blood sugar levels, there's stress, or there's some kind of inflammation in the gut that your body is trying to pump out the cortisol to make you not feel as inflamed, okay? Because cortisol is trying to downplay the inflammation. So they would be my three big things. One, what bacteria is there in the gut? Two, do you have gut symptoms? Three, what is going on with cortisol? And then lastly, you want to go, the food we are eating is going to change and impact this environment. So not so much about calories, but about what type of food. Is it your prebiotics? Is it your probiotics? Is your polyphenols playing a role here? Because these are the ones that are going to feed those healthy bacteria, which is going to impact those higher level things. Of course, if you're eating a lot of crap food, that's going to feed inflammatory bacteria. So lots of seed oils, lots of canola oils, lots of your processed foods, like really sugary products, which is going to feed some of those inflammatory bacteria. So we need to make sure that we're feeding the right bacteria because, yes, for obvious reasons, fibers increase satiety, which is going to stop you from overeating. For example, an apple that contains a lot of fiber, that is going to make you feel fuller than a handful of corn chips. It also contains fiber, which means it's going to feed the good bacteria, which is then going to impact weight, as opposed to your corn chips, which don't contain fiber, which don't feed that good bacteria. So it's a multifaceted approach, and I think weight loss always is. Yes, you've got to look at the amount you're exercising. Are you strength training 3 to 4 times a week? Are you doing some kind of resistance training? Are you getting your 8 to 10,000 steps in a day, or bike ride, or swimming, or some kind of cardio? Those things are important. Have you looked at your protein intake? Are you eating enough protein each day to support muscle recovery and weight loss? Then also, what is happening with your gut health? What is happening with your adrenal glands? Because like I said, that in itself is going to hold onto weight as well, especially if there's imbalances with estrogen, because that holds onto excess fluid. So sometimes it's not even weight as in body fat. Sometimes it's fluid retention, which is making you read heavier on the scales, or your clothes don't fit as nicely. Within a week, sometimes maximum 2 weeks of joining the Root Cause program, women are seeing reduction in weight, but also their clothes are feeling better because not only is the weight dropping off, but they're rebalancing that bloating so they're not feeling so bloated, but they're also rebalancing their minerals so they're not having so much water retention. So weight is a complicated issue. Gut health, bacterial strains definitely play a role, but I think they're a part of the whole picture. Going and taking some probiotics is not going to fix your weight problem. Fixing the root cause, rehealing that leaky gut lining, re-establishing and feeding a good microbiome, which means you're going to eat more fiber, which is going to keep you fuller for longer, which is going to stop you snacking, looking at your macros, looking at your exercise plan, that is the goal here. And that is what we do inside the Root Cause program to ensure that you actually get the results and lose weight long-term, sustainably, in a way that's right for you, as opposed to going in with a short-term fix approach. Because we all know how I feel about short-term fixes. And that is why I work in a six-month program, because it means you're going to get results, right? Whereas if I said, hey, I'll just do a single session here or there, you are not going to walk away with the same results as to someone who's committed to 6 months. And women often say, oh yeah, but I am committed, but I just want to do a one-off. I'm sorry, but you can say that you're committed now and you might have full intention of being committed, but without weekly check-ins, without chatting to me every week, without telling me how you're going, without getting the support and the guidance you need, because life happens, symptoms flare up, diets change, gut changes, skin changes. Without that ongoing support, you just simply don't get the results that you really deserve. I hope this episode was helpful. If you want to understand this connection better, follow the links in the show notes to register for my workshop. It's being held at 6 p.m. Perth time, so Australian Western Standard Time, on May 29th. So that might actually be today, depending when this episode gets dropped. But this episode should get dropped on the 29th. It's called Test Don't Guess. So let's take the guesswork out of weight loss and out of gut health and get you the solutions to your gut symptoms and get you the results you deserve. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.